This is Sci-Fi for Me.
We're at GlitchCon in Bentonville, Arkansas, talking with Marina Sirtis, of course, of Star Trek The Next Generation, Gargoyles, and most recently, Grey's Anatomy.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask, what's next?
Actually, what's next is something called a panto. Do you know what that is?
No,
because you're American, you see. Pantos are a tradition in England where you do a show at Christmas. It's usually based on a fairy tale. You know, we're doing Snow White.
Oh, okay.
And there's a lot of jokes in it that are very topical. We'll have jokes about the Kardashians. Well, you know, it'll be very now. We'll be singing. It's a musical. You put pop songs in there.
Are you dressing like a Kardashian?
No. I'm actually going to be the wicked queen, wicked stepmother, which is really weird because the last panto I did was in England 30 years ago, and I was Snow White.
Mm.
So time has flown since then. But I'm really looking forward to it because they're such fun shows. I mean, they're basically kid shows, but some of the jokes are more for the adults.
Sure.
So the adults enjoy it as much as the kids. In fact, I was in England a couple of Christmases ago, and I went to a panto, you know, and I'm not a kid because they're just such a part of our Christmas in the UK.
Mm. So it's just kind of a common thing anymore.
Yeah, oh, it's common. Every city, every town has its panto at Christmas.
Now, speaking of holidays and get-togethers with family and whatnot, I need you to confirm or deny Michael Dorn tells a story.
Yeah, probably not true then.
And this one involves, I think it was before you were married even.
Right.
It goes back this far back, where you had a number of the cast members over for dinner.
Mm.
And he walks into the kitchen and there's a big platter of ribs
right
on the kitchen counter.
Yeah.
And he reaches for them and you slap his hand and say, "That's not for you, that's for the dog."
You know what? It probably wasn't ribs. It was probably a stew or something.
For the Yorkshire Terrier.
Yes, I cook for my dogs. Yeah, I don't have that dog anymore, unfortunately. He passed away. But I have never fed my dogs dog food, so I cook for my dogs. And usually some kind of stew, you know. And if I don't have time to make two meals, you know, my husband will come home and say, "What are we having for dinner tonight?" And I'll say, "Dog food."
Now, do you still get together with members of the cast from Next Generation, or you guys have scattered enough now that it's hard to do anything?
No. The only person we don't see as much as we'd like to is Patrick, because he's gone back to England. But the rest of us, we still get together. We are still best friends. It's a really unique experience in Hollywood, because generally, once the show breaks up, you know, everyone goes their separate ways. But we created it. Well, we didn't create it. We had a bond on the show from day one where we just fit. You know, we were like a jigsaw puzzle that fit. And we've never broken up the jigsaw puzzle. We're still all together.
Various different members of the cast have started to show up on other shows.
Right.
Warehouse 13, Alphas, that. Has anybody talked to you? Are you next in line for a guest shot on the Monday night lineup?
Oh, you know what? I would, you know, I show up on people's shows. The problem is no one ever recognizes me because I tend to play more character parts now. Ever since I did Crash, I was in the movie Crash, mm-hmm. And played an unrecognizable Iranian lady. I tend to get a lot of those kind of parts now, and so sometimes people don't even realize that they've seen me because I'm usually doing an accent and usually not glamorous at all. I'm not interested really in doing those glam parts. The media parts are more character parts. And you probably have seen me, but didn't realize it was me.
Grey's Anatomy was one of those.
Yeah.
You were actually playing an Iranian in that one
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, I play a lot of Iranians.
Now, do you find that your Greek heritage and the particular look that you have, physicality, is giving you an opportunity to play more of those kinds of parts? Or are you actively pursuing that particular thing?
No, actually, Hollywood is kind of weird because when you look through the shows that are coming up and the parts that are in those shows, there really isn't a lot of work for, you know, I don't want to say white women because, you know, I'm white, but for pale, you know, like Anglo type mm-hmm. of white women. And so there are parts, however, for ethnic women in their 50s. So I just count my blessings, actually, at this point in my career, that I do look ethnic and I can play various nationalities, because I've always been able to do accents. It's one of my, God-given gifts, thank the Lord. And so it's really helping me right now, because there really isn't much else, you know, unless you're going to be a judge, which I know Gates is a judge on Franklin and Bash. He played a judge recently. Unless you're going to be a judge or, you know, in Law and Order or something, there really isn't much out there for women in their 50s. So I'm lucky. I'm really lucky. It went against me early in my career that I looked so ethnic, but it seems to be working for me now.
Some of your fellow cast members have also gone the route of web series, specifically Star Trek Phase 2. You know, Denise Crosby was on there. George Takei has been on there. Walter Koenig. Have you been approached to do anything on the web? And what do you think about that kind of a production? As because there are some that are just dreck. They're right. You know, absolute terribly done because they're amateurs. But there are some of them that the quality of them is at or near the professional level that you would expect out of LA. Have you given any thought to doing projects like that?
I'm a Luddite, so I don't know if you know, your audience knows what a Luddite is. Back in the Industrial Revolution in England, the Luddites were the people that went around smashing the machinery because it was taking jobs away from people.
Sure.
I feel a bit like that because I hate technology. And I do worry that we're losing so many jobs that are now being done by machines. And it worries me. You know, what are we going to do with all these people that aren't working? So on a certain level, I'm anti that whole concept. But I think what's going to happen, and because right now, I think those series aren't really being produced by the studios or, you know, real, like, professional producers who do it as their job.
Well, on the other hand, you do have shows like Funny or Die, for example, or Crackle, which are websites that are given to very specific projects that involve people like Will Ferrell or Michael Ironside,
right,
and some really top-shelf A-level actors,
right,
and production teams.
I didn't know that.
Well, and it's not common yet, but if you see shows like The Bannon Way, which was a web series that started on Crackle and has now been picked up for DVD and all of that, I'm wondering if we're seeing things rise to a level where, you know, we're going to get the cream of the crop on that just as another channel.
Well, to be honest, without getting too political on you, I'm a big supporter of our union, and our union at the moment does not have a deal with the internet.
Right.
We don't have any payment schedules. We don't have any residual schedules. We don't have any recourse. You know, the union doesn't protect us if we do web shows. So I think when the union and the technology and whoever is making these shows get together and they create some kind of contract that protects the actors, then I will do them. But at the moment, I don't work non-union. You know, it's one of my things that, you know, I'm in a union that really is a great union. If it wasn't for SAG, I wouldn't have health benefits, I wouldn't have my health insurance, I wouldn't have a pension. You know, they've been, the union is very good to us. And so I feel it's beholden to the actors to respect the union. So when there's a union contract with the internet, I'll be on there. I'm sure I'll be on there.
We're seeing a lot of remakes of shows, you know, Dukes of Hazzard, Star Trek now.
Hawaii Five-0.
Charlie's Angels.
Right.
V.
Right.
When people talk about some of these new things, Thundercats being
right,
one of the more recent ones,
right,
is a remake that Cartoon Network has done. When people talk about Thundercats, the next sentence has always Gargoyles.
Right.
When is Gargoyles coming back? When are they going to bring it back? Have you heard nobody's talked to you about doing Gargoyles again?
No. In fact, I still work for those people. I still work for Greg and Jamie on a show called Young Justice,
mm-hmm,
and I'm Queen Bee, recurring on that show. And it's just exactly the same producers, directors. We have this conversation virtually every time I see them about Gargoyles, and it's dead. It's not going to happen. People talk about a live action. I suppose that could happen. I won't be playing Demona if that happens. It'll be someone younger, you know, it won't be me. So It's a question I get asked all the time. It was a series that seemed to resonate with so many people, but it got cancelled. So I'm sure Disney had their reasons, which they don't impart to us, obviously. We're very low on the totem pole for information. But it was great. It was a wonderful experience doing it. And you just have to chalk it up to that was another great experience and another project that I'm really proud of.
You mentioned Young Justice. Any other animated or video game work? You're starting to do a lot more voice work now?
I don't do a lot of voice work because I basically have one voice and accents. I don't do voices. When we were doing Gargoyles, there were some voice actors on that show, and we would get to maybe a part in the script, and they'd say something like, we need Scottish old guy, sounds like a dog when he speaks. And there was a voice actor in the room who could do that, which blew my mind. These guys are so talented with their vocal cords. I don't do that. I basically just do accents. So unless they know that this is it, you know. And there are voice actors, and they work all the time. And there's one here this weekend, Troy Baker's here. It's of all the acting jobs that I do, you know, theater, movies, TV, I think voice acting is probably the bottom of my list of things that, you know, that I enjoy the most.
Theater or TV, which is your top?
To be honest, if I could make a living doing theater, I would do theater. But you really can't make a living doing theater, especially in Los Angeles.
Now, is that more of a cultural thing? Because Patrick Stewart has said similar things, where, you know, you get a lot of people from England who say, you know, theater is the thing. If I could do that all the time, I would. Do you think that's more cultural, that we've grown up here in a Hollywood culture more than a Shakespeare culture, and England has been the other way around?
Well, I think in England, the way you get into the business is very different to the way you get into the business in America. In England, one tends to go to drama school for 2 or 3 years instead of college, unfortunately. And then you go into the theater. That's what you do. Your next step out of drama school is to get a good job in the theater. And so that's how we all start. And to be honest, there is really nothing as satisfying as doing a play which has an arc from beginning to end. You know, when you're doing TV and movies, you might shoot the last scene first.
Right.
You know, it's very different. Not less satisfying, but there's just something about the whole of doing a play. And having a live audience, right. You know. I mean, I always thought, and I've only ever done a couple of sitcoms in America, but maybe that's like the happy medium, to do a sitcom with a live audience. You know, that would be kind of the next best thing to doing theater.
So the Rikers?
Yeah, we've been trying to plug that for years. Paramount isn't biting, though, unfortunately. We just said, you know, there's never been a sitcom. Star Trek the sitcom, you know, and they're not buying it.
Well, Seth Green's doing a Star Wars sitcom, so, you know, maybe it's warming up. Who knows?
You never know. You know, if it's successful, maybe you'll see the Rikers in space.
That would be funny. There was a lot of noise, a lot of negativity when The Next Generation was announced, and it seemed to go okay. Everybody latched onto it and it went okay. Enterprise, not so much. J.J. Abrams' new Star Trek, same kind of thing. There were a lot of people that were concerned that he wasn't going to get it because he's a Star Wars fan. What did you think about the new movie?
You know what? I thought it was a really enjoyable film. I actually went to the premiere with Jonathan and met J.J. for the first time, and he said, you know, what did you think of the movie? And I liked it. I really liked it. I want to say Keith Urban, but it's not Keith Urban.
Carl Urban.
I like Keith Urban too. But I thought Carl Urban was channeling D. Kelly. I mean, I thought he was incredible. And so, I really enjoyed it. And I got what they were trying to do. They were trying to get a new audience. And the new audience was the teenagers and the tweens who weren't necessarily Star Trek fans. And they succeeded in that. So kudos to them, because it's hard bringing a new Star Trek on. I mean, when we started, there were more people saying, how dare you, than there were saying, welcome, you know. So it's not an easy proposition. He did a great job. It's a great action movie. And he's keeping the franchise alive, so God bless him.
It's the hardest accent you have to do. The most challenging for you.
Indian. I'm the only British actress. who can't do an Indian accent. Only British person who can't do an Indian accent. I would have to really work hard to do an Indian, which is so bizarre because I heard it all my life because I grew up around a lot of Indian people, East Indian people, and but I just can't get my tongue around it.
So after the play in Christmas,
yeah.
Then what's next?
Well, hopefully, then it's pilot season, and hopefully I'll get myself another series, which is the plan. I would really like to do another series.
Are you looking for anything in particular, genre-wise, or you want to stay away from genre, or...?
You know, I would, at this point, as long as it was something that I was interested in doing, that I found possibly different or challenging, and not a rehash of something I'd done before, I would be open to anything at the moment. My ideal would be to do a courtroom drama, because I love Law and Order. If actually, my husband said recently, can't you earn money watching soccer? Because that's what I do more than anything. So that would be great. If I could earn money watching soccer, that would be my fate. That would be my ideal job.
That would be the off time for the Rikers.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, like Cisco had baseball, the Rikers have soccer.
Right, I would be watching soccer. I should, you know, and that would just be perfect.
What do you think of all of the remakes that have been going on right now? A lot of people have said Hollywood is creatively bankrupt because they're just going to the well on stuff that's been done before. Bionic Woman being one. You mentioned Charlie's Angels, V, all of these things. Are we seeing Hollywood that's creatively bankrupt, or do you think that there's something else there that they're just recycling ideas for different generations?
You know, I think it's probably a little bit of both. I think that what's happened is that, you know, you used to have Paramount and it was a studio and its own thing, and then Gulf and Western bought it, and then Viacom bought it, and then CBS, and it's like we don't have little entities anymore. We have these huge kind of global conglomerates that own the studios now, and that are in charge of production. And I just think there's just too many people involved. You know, I think back in the day when I first started on Star Trek, there was the guy, you know, Frank Mancuso was the head of the studio. I think he made the final choice. I mean, I think it was his decision. And now there isn't just one person. Now there's a board, and there's directors, and there's, you know, the board of the main company. And I just think that's what it is, that there's just too many chefs in the kitchen. And, you know, it could be that, you know, this was a hit in the 70s. Let's remake it and give it to a new generation. And, you know, it worked with us. You know, it worked with Star Trek The Next Generation. So why not? I mean, and I think we were like the template. I don't think a lot of people realize how our show opened the door to so much in show business in Hollywood, because we were the first drama that was made for syndication. I mean, before we came along, it was just reruns of sitcoms, talk shows, and game shows on syndication. And we were the first show that was actually made for syndication. And so that opened a whole avenue, you know, in Hollywood. I think that, you know, our show basically kept the conventions, you know, this whole arena is something that we built. I mean, it existed before we came along, but we made it huge, the fan base that we brought to Star Trek. And then that continued on. So I think our show is sometimes not given the credit it deserves. You know, the original show obviously gets a lot of credit because they were the first. But we opened a lot of doors in Hollywood.
You've done a lot of acting, and a number of your castmates have gone on to direct and produce. Do you have any thoughts about going that route? You got some of your own ideas that you want to develop, or you're happy acting?
Well, I write. I don't write with Michael. Michael Dorn and I are writing partners. I do the research. He does the writing. And we've got a couple of projects that we're trying to get off the ground. But as far as directing goes, I'm not really interested in it. I'm really only want to be an actress, and that's all I've ever wanted to be. I'm just, you know, as I say, I just want to hit my mark and not bump into the furniture. You know, that's my aim in life.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com.